You know, as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, I know I've probably said some things you didn't like. Like you're in danger of hellfire if you call someone an idiot. It's in there. I didn't write it. Jesus spoke it. But there's things like that that are in the Sermon on the Mount because Christ is trying to perfect us as the body of Christ to reflect Him. Amen? I don't know. You wake it. It's 11:30. Come on now. Christ wants us to reflect Him. If you really believe Jesus is coming, you know, I was with some pastors this week, and they were talking about quotes from other people, and they gave a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, who was not a Christian. And they said, Gandhi said this, "If it wasn't for the Christians, I'd become a Christian." If it wasn't for the Christians, I would become a Christian. If it wasn't for how Christians acted, I would actually want to become a Christian because I like the Word. I like what Jesus said. That's what He said. See, but because of how Christians act and how we treat each other, you didn't want no part of that. So as the body of Christ, we've got to get it down, amen? Like Delonda said, we're going to spend eternity together. So we've got to learn to get along as the body of Christ. We've got to learn to love each other. And we've got to learn to go out and to win the lost. Amen? Maybe not, I guess so. Come on now, wake up. The more amens you say, the faster I'll get done. I thought there'd be at least one amen. Are you ready for the Word? Why don't you stand to your feet? The title of my message today is Pleasing God. How many of you want to please God? Me too. So here we go. Pleasing God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It's titled, Do Good to Please God. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before us as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, as they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into the time of Your Word, Lord, I pray that You give us revelation for each one of us as what is pleasing to You. And Father, that we would purpose in our hearts to do those things that please God. That, Lord, that You give us strength for the journey we're on. That, Lord, that You give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Do good to please God. Please God by doing charitable deeds. I have a short little video that I want to show you of a young man who did a charitable deed.
Our final story begins with a chance encounter between an officer and a gentle young soul. Steve Hartman met them on the road.
Here at the Ohio Air National Guard base near Toledo.
This is the 180th Fighter Wing.
Lieutenant Colonel Frank Daly still can't believe the honor recently bestowed upon him.
It's incredible being recognized in such a manner.
It happened at a Cracker Barrel, of all places. As the security camera shows, Lieutenant Colonel Daly entered the restaurant on February 7th for an early lunch. At about the same time, 8-year-old Miles Eckert came in with his family. Miles, in the green hoodie, was very excited. He just found a $20 bill in the parking lot.
Just sitting there?
Yeah.
Did you start thinking of what you could spend it on?
I kind of wanted to get a video game, but then I decided not to.
He changed his mind when he saw that guy in uniform.
Because he was a soldier, and soldiers remind me of my dad.
And so, with his dad in mind, Miles wrapped the 20 in a note that read, Dear soldier, my dad was a soldier. He's in heaven now. I found this $20 in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service. Signed, Miles Eckert, a Gold Star Kid. Army Sergeant Andy Eckert was killed in Iraq just 5 weeks after Miles was born. All the kid has ever had are pictures and dog tags.
This is his wedding ring.
Other people's memories and his own imagination.
I imagined him as a really nice person and somebody that would be really fun.
The dad he imagines must also love a good story. Because after lunch that day, Miles asked his mom, Tiffany, to make one more stop.
Excellent. He wanted to go see his dad. And he wanted to go by himself that day.
She took this picture from the car. Follow the footsteps and you'll see Miles standing there behind the flag, presumably telling his dad all about it. And whether heaven heard him or not, his good deed continues to impress here on earth.
You've read it more than once?
I look at it every day.
Kid gave you a bigger gift than $20.
A lifetime direction, for sure.
Lieutenant Colonel Daly says he's already given away the 20 and plans to do much more. He also hopes that little green post-it will inspire other people across the country to give as sincerely and dutifully as this father and son. Steve Hartman, on the road, in Toledo, Ohio.
Wow. Yeah, you clapped. Something about giving, amen? And this young man gave in such a way that he had a mighty impact on that soldier. And that wasn't just a private in the army. That was a lieutenant colonel. You know, I mean, and he impacted that man by giving something that he had even found. And when we can impact somebody by our giving, you know, when you're out, I was talking to somebody after first service, and he says, Pastor, I don't feel right about just giving to those people standing out in front of the store. You know they're going to go buy liquor. And I said, well, then don't give them any money. If you want to give money out there, you know, you don't want to give it to the guy begging on the corner or begging in front of the store, then bring it here. Give it to God's provision, our food ministry, amen? We feed, you know, almost 75 families a week, and they get a ton of groceries. And then we have the Hope Team in Corona, which is the police department, and we're sowing seed into the Hope Team to help the police because they're out there interviewing people. They're doing evaluations of people. They're finding the people who really have a need, and so we're helping them. We want to support that, you know, so that we're not just giving anywhere that helps people to continue in their addictions or just wandering the streets. We want to really be effective in our giving, amen? We want to make a difference like this young man did. He made a difference in that man's life. That little note, he keeps it with him. And I want my giving to make a difference. So the Lord in this passage, he gives us some ideas about it. And number one that he says, do it in secret. Don't do it for recognition. You know, years ago, back, I think it was 2005, 2006, right in there, right after Katrina, we put together a team here at the church. I think it happened in August. We went in January, February. I think there was 25 of us that flew down there, and we went and we stayed in the FEMA camp, and we went and we did work. We connected with this pastor, and we went and we helped him. To gut his church, to gut some homes. We gutted some homes. We worked at a food bank for them, you know, giving food. You know, we were there 6 months after Katrina, and it was still total annihilation. I can remember I worked the front, out in front of the food line. You know, there was people in the back stocking the shelves constantly, but I worked in the front. I walked with the people through the line, and as I walked with them through the line, I would hear their story. And they were telling me things like, you know, I would, older lady telling me, you know, I have not been home yet. This is my first time back since the hurricane, because so many people were evacuated, and because they didn't know what they had, they were slow in coming back. And so 6 months later, here I'm walking through the line with this lady going, this is my first time back here, and I know my home's destroyed. Because in St. Bernard Parish, It's the only county in all of the United States where there was 100% destruction. 100%. Every home, every building, everything was destroyed because the water ran at 9 feet across. When the levee broke, it just annihilated everything. We went to the 9th Ward, and homes just blew away where that levee broke. Man, it was terrible. So we're walking through with people and just, you know, listening to their stories. We were helping them. Through the year, 2 years there, New Hope Family Worship Center, we ended up giving like $185,000. Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, remember that, Scott? We took that off. With first initial offering was like $50,000, and then we took $100,000 out of our building fund, and we gave it. I got some grants for them of $35,000, and we took the money. And so when the church would tell me, hey, we got a check for New Orleans, I'd say, okay, give it to me. And I would take it, and I'd go down, and I'd get on a plane, and I'd fly over there. And I'd go, and I'd find the pastor. I'd rent a car. I'd go find the pastor. I said, hey, man, I'm here. I brought you some money. And he'd be like, oh, you know, he'd be blessed. Because, I mean, who just flies into the town and hands you a $25,000 or $35,000 check, you know? I mean, I brought checks for like $50,000. He's like, you know, you don't even know me. And I said, well, that's okay. We want to help. And so we rebuilt his home as a church. And then in his church, we helped rebuilding his church. But on the end of his church, he took over another building where I designed a bunkhouse. But then I sent workers there, the church did, we sent workers to build it. We sent one guy to intern there that was in construction for 6 months, and he built this out. And I went down there with other people. We did the plumbing on it because we built the bunkhouse with bathrooms and showers and then bunkhouses. So we did the whole thing. We got it ready so that, because teams of people were coming to New Orleans to help. They probably still receive teams in the help down there because it was a mess. It was so bad. But I went down there this one time, and I had a check for $25,000. And, you know, I was just flying down for the weekend just to be a part of their worship service and everything. So I didn't bring any work clothes or anything. I was dressed about like this. So I get there, and, you know, I rent a car, and I go out there, and I find the pastor. I said, hey, you know, here you go. And he's like, oh, man, I'm so glad you're here. I said, okay, what's going on? He goes, well, we have this other ministry coming in tomorrow, and they're going to film everything that they've been doing, and they're going to do a service here. So could you help us lay tile tonight? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So they had a new fellowship hall, and so Mike Ayala was our intern that we sent down there. So him and I were in there till after midnight laying tile. And we you know, we worked hard to get it done that night so that on Saturday when this big ministry was coming in with their cameras and everything, all the work was done. Now, I didn't get any recognition that I brought. They didn't interview me. They didn't want to know what I did, what I was doing there. I just went. I went to the service. Don Bowen came in and did worship. It was a great time. But what I'm getting at is, you know, when we do things and we're expecting recognition because we've given to the poor, we're missing out. Amen? So, but if you do it in secret and you're not looking for the recognition, then you open up the door for God to do something for you. Amen? You know, he declares in Proverbs, let me see my notes here, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, he says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. In the Message Bible, it says it like this. It says, mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays back those loans in full. So when you lend to the poor, God, you're not lending to the poor, you're lending to God. Amen. And God pays you back. It's the way we run our food ministry here. God's provision. That's how we run it. We run it on, it's not a budgeted ministry. It's not a ministry that we budget every year a set amount of dollars for. What we do is we started out with money to give to the poor, and we believe that God will bring increase to that account every month. You know what? They've never gone without food. We always have the money. God always, now there's been times where that count went below zero, but it always comes back up. You know, God always brings increase. You lend to the poor, God will pay you back. Amen? But if you're looking for somebody, like if, you know, you give to somebody, I remember I had this, when I had my own business, this guy called me and he said, "Hey, Ron, I need $500, man." I said, "Well, let me call my wife and make sure I like to, you know, make sure it's that we're in agreement when I'm doing these things." So I called her. I said, "Hey, this guy needs this money. What do you think?" You know, she's like, "Yeah, go ahead." And so I gave it to him, and he says, "Oh, I'll pay you back." I said, "I don't care. I'm giving it. God bless." You know, but it was like an extra blessing came when he did come back one day and said, "Hey, here." But I've given people the money with no expectations and not gotten things back. I remember I gave money to this one guy. I had to drive to Irvine. I brought him groceries. I gave him money. And I just thought, "Oh, that's great." So he called me one day and he says, "Hey, I want to take you to lunch." I'm like, "Oh, praise God." And he took me to lunch and in a really nice Korean, not Korean barbecue, but Argentinian, you know, barbecue kind of place where they have all the different meats. Great meal, fantastic meal. And he's blessing me. And then when we were done, we got in the car, he shakes my hand, and it's full of money. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "You helped me when I needed it. I just want to bless you." See, I believe that God always brings it back. It may not be in the perfect timing, but God brings it back. Amen? He gives to you. And I love that. It's just like, you know, when I went to Pakistan, I told you, they said, "It's going to cost me $3,200 for the ministry in Pakistan. And you guys gave me enough money to go. You guys gave me $6,000 before that trip. So I only needed five." So I went, and the first night I was there, our pastor picked me up at 2:30 in the morning at the airport. We got to his place. You know, like 4 in the morning, I said, "Here." I opened up my wallet. I handed him $3,200. "Here's the money. Let's go to work." Went to sleep for a few hours, and we woke up, and I ministered for 8 straight days. But when I came back, a week and a half later, somebody calls me. Says, "Pastor Ron, I still think of you as my pastor. I still think of New Hope as my church." And he hasn't been here in 3 years. He says, "You know, when I was I'm active military." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, they repossessed my house a few years ago, and that's against the law to do that to somebody that's in active military." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, so they had to pay me the full value of my house." I said, "Wow, wonderful." And he says, "Well, I want to send you the tithe." I said, "What? Praise God." So while we're talking, he says, "I'm going to send you $32,000. I'm like, "Really?" I never had that kind of call, Rob. $32,000. Somebody's just going to say, that doesn't even come to my church. So I grabbed Pastor Otto. I said, "Hey, this guy, man, he's sending me $32,000. Pastor Otto says, "How much money did you take to Pakistan with you?" I said, $3,200. He says, "You sowed seed, and God has multiplied it back to you." Amen? Now, does it always work like that? No. But man, when it does, wow. But the promise is true. You lend, God pays you back. When you sow seed into good ground, God will multiply it. Amen? And God does that. So when you lend to the Lord, God pays you back. You don't have to worry about Him having enough. God will pay you back. And I put in my notes here, just use wisdom in giving. See, because a lot of times we get moved emotionally. You know, God gives you money for your house payment, and then somebody comes along and they tug on your emotions, and you think, "Well, God will pay me back." So you give them your house payment, and then you can't make your house payment, and then you're stuck. And now you're in trouble because God hasn't paid you back yet. So that's where you got to use wisdom. Is what God given you to give, is it for your need, is it for seed to sow? You have to use wisdom in that, amen? Because if you know that it's for seed to sow, then you can freely give it. But if you know it's God's giving you money, I'd love to give you this money, man, but I've got to pay my house payment too. So you've got to use wisdom in that, amen? But, you know, when you give, do it in secret. I've had people come and hand me an envelope with money in it, and I'd say, oh, thank you. They said, no, that's not for you. I want you to give it to this person. And I look, and they wrote the name on the envelope of who the money's for. But I don't want to know. You know, we were in the restaurant one day. Pastor Otto and I love Indian food. So we were over having all-you-can-eat Indian food up here on Main Street. And there was an officer in there, and he was eating lunch. And I just told the waitress, I said, I'm buying his lunch, you know, but don't tell him who did it. You know, and I bought his lunch. And then he was pretty gruff looking, you know. You know, I mean, cops, you know, they're always got to be on guard these days, especially. And she's like, no, it's okay, it's taken care of. Well, who took care of it? And she, when he said, who took care of it? She's like, that man. I'm like, come on. I was trying to do this in secret, you know. So he came over and thanked me. And I was like, man, we just appreciate you. We love the police force in this city. So God bless you, you know. But, you know, you just do for it, amen. Like that little guy given to that soldier. But do it in secret, amen. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And then number two, do it without pride. Without pride. That ministry... I know why they filmed it. I know why they filmed me when I was in Pakistan. They filmed me in Pakistan so that I could come back here, because the guy was always filmed in ministry, and it was great. You know, don't get me wrong, tons of pictures. I got thousands of pictures on a hard drive up there. They bought me an external hard drive. It was so much filming and pictures and everything. But they said, you could bring it back and show the people, and they'll give you money to come back again. And so I know why that ministry went into New Orleans to film that service, so that they could put it on national television, and that people would sow seed in their ministry because of what they're doing with it. You know, Pakistan was hard for me because they were so honoring to me. I mean, you like to be honored, you know. But this was a little extreme. You know, when I would come into a meeting, I would have to wait at the door until they told me it was okay to come in. And there'd be people lined up, and they'd throw flowers in the air at me. I'm like, okay, this is a little weird. You know, they're just throwing flowers. They had girls that stood there and just did this as I walked in. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like this, man. This too much exposure right now. I'm the kind of guy, I like to fly under the radar. I like to go in, do the work of the Lord, and get out and come home and tell you, hey, I had a great time. God bless you for sending me, and let's do it again. You know, but then they would come and they would put these flowers around my neck. You know, not just one or two, but they start out, and then the stack would grow on my chest, to where it was even with my mouth, and I'd be like pushing down, you know, and then they'd all take a picture with me and stuff. I thought, this is ridiculous. But then I finally figured it out, Abe. I paid for it. So I thought, I'm going to save myself some money next time. I'm going to tell them no flowers. But you know, if you're doing it for recognition, if you're giving out of pride to be puffed up, your reward is going to be the glory of men. I don't want the glory of men. I mean, it's really nice when people encourage you, when people bless you, you know, and shake your hand and say, you know, you're doing a good job, Pastor, you know. Yeah, we love that encouragement. But to get all glory from men and not from God, I believe there's going to be people that get before God and He's going to say, I know you're supposed to be here, but what'd you do? I see your name's written in the book of life, but there's nothing behind it. Because if we get all our glory from men, that's how it's going to be when we get there. If we're so prideful, but God wants us to do it in humility, amen, without the recognition of what we're doing. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10, it says this. It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. And here it is, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen? And a great example of that is what Jesus did. Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to go, God. I'm going to go, Father, and I'm going to go to earth, and I'm going to humble myself and become a man. And I'll die for them. I'll do your will for them. And he did it to the glory of God. And when he humbled himself, and when he died for us, God lifted him up and exalted him. And where is Jesus at right now? The right hand of God. He is sitting at the right hand of God, forever interceding for us. He is on the throne. And I believe, now listen, that is a word for us today. Because the Lord said in Revelation chapter 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. See, that's the plan. As we overcome this world, his intent is that we rule with Christ. That we sit on the throne with him. You know, we're not going to just get to heaven and we're not going to sit around and ask a bunch of questions. We're being created to be rulers in the kingdom of God. Amen? Because as we overcome the world, we're going to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ and we're going to rule with him. Amen? That's the purpose. It's not just so that we can, oh, I made it to heaven. No, there's purpose still for all of our eternities. Amen? God has got a plan for us, and it's a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us a future with a hope to it. Amen? And so we are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. You know, and we sit around and we think, I can't see myself doing it. Well, get over yourself and start getting into Christ. Because this is what he is telling us. Amen? This is his intention for us, to sit with him on the throne. And so all we've got to work on doing is overcoming what the enemy is throwing at us. And the way that we do it is we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and let him lift us up. Amen? We do things in humility, not in pride. You know, I was so embarrassed one Sunday. This was a couple years ago. Some brother said, we need to be... He stood up. He said, I say something? I said, sure. You know, he goes, we need to bless the pastor. The pastor's an awesome guy. We need to bless him. And he walked up and he handed me a check. You need to give him. You need to be a blessing to your pastor. I'm like, oh my gosh, just sit down and shut up right now. That's what's going through my head. I mean, if you want to bless me, great, but don't do it like that. You've just got your reward. And it embarrassed me too. Delana knows, man, I can't handle that. I don't want that kind of, recognition. Do it in secret. Give it to Jackie. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it makes a difference when we can do it in humility, amen? We got to humble ourselves. Not do it, not have pride in our giving. Be glad that we could give. You know, when I had my own business, it was really difficult. It's difficult to figure out how much to tithe having my own business. You know, I would get a down payment check, and that down payment check on the job was 50%. So I have to figure out, okay, well, I got to buy materials, I got machine payments, I got a building payment, and then, you know, I have a house payment. And, you know, I'm like, God, how do I give? So I went to him one day. I said, Lord, how do I tithe on my business? He said, okay, this year I want you to give this much. Every month. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. But you know what I did? I did it every month and I rejoiced in the Lord because I was able to tithe that much money every month. I was able to do what he told me to do, amen? And he blessed me because everything else got paid. When you focus in on the Lord and you do what he tells, but you just do it in humility, it's amazing what he'll do for you. It's amazing how he'll meet you there, amen? So do it in humility and not, without pride. Number three, give what you have. How many of you have ever been approached by a homeless person and said, oh, I don't have any money? You said, I don't have any money. I'm using my card today. And they're like, oh, you know. I don't have money. I was with a pastor in Peru, and in his car, you know, in the door handle right there, it was full of change. And so we pulled up in Peru. It's you drive up and you get to a stoplight. All of a sudden, some kid will jump out and he'll wash your windows, or he'll jump out and he'll start doing a gymnast routine in the crosswalk. And he'll dance for you and everything, you know. And that pastor will roll down his window and he'll reach into that little thing there and he'll give them street kids money. He keeps that money right there for that purpose, to give it to the kids on the street kids in Peru. Give what you have. Now, when Peter and John got filled with the Holy Spirit and they were going to the temple one day, things were a little different. They didn't have any money. They didn't have a stash to pull from. And I want to read this to you in Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms to those who entered the temple." So, I had questions for you. I got a couple of questions. Who was begging? You can say it out loud. This is a talk time. Who was begging? The lame man was begging. Okay, this is not trick questions, okay? Now, how long was he lame? From birth. Amen. All his life he was, you know, he was put there to beg. So, let me keep reading. Verse 3. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Okay, so number one, he got the man's attention. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from him. See, all you have to do is get their attention, amen? And then give them what you have to give them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." How much money did Peter have? None. Okay, so he didn't have any money. He says, "But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God. So they did not have the money, but what they did have, they gave him. What did they have? They had faith. They had the power of God. Amen. Come on, Delonda, don't hold out on me now. She's thinking first service. But Peter spoke in faith to that man. He said, "With a hand, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See, he did it with "rise up and walk." See, now Delonda, there's no way. She would have had to really fight me to stay in that seat right now. First service, I almost tossed her up on the stage. But you see, the faith is not just in what you say. The faith is in what you do. The faith is extending yourself to say, "Come on!" See, so when you're going out, you can give them what you have. If you're here today and you're born again, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Okay, you have something to offer. You have something to offer. You have something to give. Because you are God's chosen vessel to give to the world salvation. Because your world, I do not go into. You go into your world. You go into your world. I don't know you. I don't even know where you live. You go into your world. You may be the only gospel that the people around you will ever see. You have something to offer that homeless guy out on the streets. You have something to give to the people. And when you give, The Lord says, Abe, He says, give and it shall be given. Amen? So, Rick, what I'm doing now is I'm looking for people that need their kids ministered to, and I'll go and I'll minister to their kids. Because I figure if I give, somebody's going to keep ministering to my kids. Amen? And if I go and minister to your grandkids, somebody's going to minister to my grandkids. Because if you give, it shall be given. Now, you know, Rob, sometimes kids don't want to listen to their own parents. You know, they don't want to take the advice of dad, you know. Kind of funny, you know, even Carly. Now, Carly loves the Lord. Carly's been serving the Lord so long, and, you know, and we've been ministering to Carly for, you know, since she was a little kid. And Delonda, you know, tells her things and everything. And one day, Carly calls and says, oh, Mom, I heard this greatest message today. It just blessed me so much. And she's telling Delonda, like, I've been telling you that for years. Sometimes our own kids don't receive it. Our own brothers and sisters can't receive it from us, but they'll receive it from somebody else. And you might be that somebody else for somebody. And God is calling us to start giving what we do have. Amen? Give what you have. The Lord told me, have Cindy pray for people. Give away what you've got. I know that Cindy's been delivered. I know that she's been redeemed and restored and been in circumstances that are dire. And God has brought her back. Amen? So I'm like, hey, the Lord said she's to pray. You got to give it out what you've received, amen? Everything that's been given to you as believers in Jesus Christ, you've got to learn to give it away. If you've got peace, give peace. Bring peace to situations. Amen? Learn to let it flow. If you've been healed, give healing to people. Hey, you know what? Jesus Christ healed me, and look at me. I'm nothing special. So let me, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal you. And give it away. Now, what's our limiting factor? Us. What's the matter with us? We're afraid. What if I stick out my hand and they don't get up? What if I tell them about salvation and they say, no, thank you? That's not my problem. If they don't get up, that's not on me, because, man, I believe. I believe if they can't get up, I mean, I'm going to pull them up. Their legs are going to have to do something, because... I pull them up like I did Delana. Something's going to happen. They're either going to fall on their face on the other side or... But you know, where is our faith to step out? Because God has not given us fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? So He is calling us as the body of Christ to begin to step out in the faith that we have and to do what He's called us to do. Now you say, well, I don't have faith to do all that. But what do you have faith to do? Do you have the faith? You know, we were singing a song, Jawan. I wrote it down. Back page here. Shout, shout, shout to the Lord. What do you think He wants us to shout? She said, praise. I saw it on your lips, Gina. You said it real quiet. She said, He wants us to praise Him. Amen. How else does He want us to shout? With thanksgiving. What does He want us to shout? Healing. Love. Truth. We gotta learn to open our mouths, amen. It's easy in here. We feel so safe. Jawan runs around with his guitar. We sing, and you know, it's like, oh, hallelujah, you know. Some of you are like this. When's this gonna be over? But I believe that God, what God wants us to shout, is the way. Do you know why you're saved? Do you know why you're saved? Do you know why you're saved? Do you know how you got saved? Do you know how you got saved? Do you know how you got saved, Rob? Can you tell somebody how you got saved, Sandy? Sure. You know what? I love your dad's testimony. When your dad shared his testimony before he became a deacon, see, I don't just say, oh, you're a deacon. I give him a It's about a 20-page document that they have to read, and then an 8-page application that they have to read. And I've got one brother, because we're looking at bringing new deacons on. I gave one to one brother, and he said, "Man, you're really making me look at my walk with the Lord right now." I said, "That's what it's designed to do." But when her dad shared his testimony, and he'd been saved 30-something years, he sat at the table with us, and he cried. He was just so humbled to be able to share his testimony with us. It was amazing. Ask Bob sometime. He's been coming. He was in first service today. He comes second service. He's been coming. He's fighting through his physical ailments right now, but he's coming. He's doing his best he can. We got Roberta, the lady over here that's in first service, that's on chemotherapy. She's got a nice wig, and she's still coming. You got my mom that's been in chemo for, you know, 3 rounds now, and she's still coming. You got Margarita that takes chemo once a month, and she's still coming. They're fighting through, amen? They're fighting through whatever the enemy's throwing at them, and that's what we have to do, amen? But Carol, what if we could just share with somebody out there what's going on and how Jesus is still on the throne? What if we could just, "Yeah, I understand what you're going through. But let me tell you what I've gone through." Because you know what? You know what you've been through. You know what you're going through. And you know the love of God. And that's what matters. Can you share what you have with people? Can you give what you've got? That little boy went into that diner with his heart filled with a new toy until he saw that man. And that little boy wrote that note, and he wrapped it around that $20 bill, and he gave it to that army man. He blessed him. We have to be the people that are willing to give what we have. Amen? You have salvation. You've got to learn how to give it away. "Well, I don't know how." Well, come to something extra so we can teach you how. Because we'll teach you how. Valerie is starting an evangelistic team. Raise your hand, Valerie. She's going out. Dan and Ann will take you up to Vista Cove, show you how to minister to all them people. Up there at Vista Cove, Valerie, I gave her 3,500 Bible tracts. 2 cases. I said, "Here, that's all yours. Get rid of it." And I mean that. Get rid of it. So what I want to encourage you to do, you want to be a part of evangelism? Come and pray Friday nights with us. Come and pray. Everything gets birthed out of prayer. Amen? And we're having an incredible time praying. Come and pray with us. But know that you have something to offer. If you know Jesus, you have something to give away. And then as your faith be, it'll expand. As your faith goes, it will grow. I got one more scripture for you. Giving blesses God. Giving blesses God. So number one, you give it in secret. Number two, you do it without pride. Number three, you give what you have. Because giving blesses God. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. This is out of the Message Bible. It says, "Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, and criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down, that hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier." I like that. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give your life away. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. So when we begin to step out and give, and we stop judging, we stop cursing people, we start loving, and we start giving, It's amazing what God will begin to bring back to us. Amen. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes time. You know, but I know that when you lend to the poor, God will pay you back. If I give a dollar to the poor, I don't expect 10 back. I expect a dollar back. He'll pay me back, okay? And he usually does it without interest. Now, if I sow seed into fertile ground, I expect a return. I was in a Jesse Duplantis meeting one time. Man, all I had was $10 on me. And I was down in Anaheim. I'd worked a full day, and I was hungry. I wanted something to eat, and I had this $10, and he's Jesse Duplantis. Nobody can receive an offering like Jesse Duplantis, man. He just makes you feel good about giving, you know. And he's up there, and he's gone, and I'm thinking, I want to eat, Lord, I want to eat, you know. And But I took that, the Lord told me, give all you got, man. And all I had was $10, and I took it, and I gave it. I figured, well, I got enough gas to get home, you know. So I gave that $10. And then my friend, he says, he leans over to me and he says, hey, I'll buy you dinner. I'm like, wow, that was quick. Lord paid me back. Man, this is great. I'm going to get dinner. And he took me out to dinner and I had a great dinner. But the next day when I went into work, my boss, the owner of the company, because I was the vice president, the president of the company came to me. He said, he looked at me, he says, I want to give you a bonus. I said, okay, great. He says, I want to give you $5,000. How do you want it? Cash, preferably. No. I'm like, are you kidding me? You want to give me? He says, I want to give you $5,000. I like what you've been doing. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I believe it was a direct response to a seed I sowed in good ground. See, when you sow a seed in good ground, you can expect a multiplication. But if you lend to the poor, just expect God to pay you back. Not multiply it, but pay you back. Amen. I believe New Hope is good ground. When you sow seed in good ground, I believe God's going to multiply it back to you. I pray for it all the time. Friday night, man, you know what we did Friday night? We put all our wallets on the table. We started praying over our wallets on Friday night. Lord, bless these wallets. Bless these finances. Bless those that couldn't be here tonight, Lord. We prayed. We prayed for you blessing, that God would bless you indeed. Amen. Because we believe in that when we give, there's going to be an increase, that God is going to bless. But when you lend to the poor, God pays you back. Because when you're lending to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. And the way that we serve the poor is through God's provision that Valerie runs. So if you say, I want to lend to the poor, and you're tired of seeing your money go to beer and alcohol out in the streets, put it in an envelope and put God's provision on it. And, you know, because I said, it's not a budget item. It's something that we just do, and God replenishes that account every week. There's, you know, $40 to $60 in gas. There's, you know, we go to a couple of different places for food. We go to the food bank, and, you know, we spend money to feed the community. We're feeding about 75 families a week, and they don't get just a bag of groceries. They get like 4 to 6 bags of groceries. When you look on the sidewalk out there and you look and you see the numbers 1 to 100, it's because you start out with 1 and they put a pile of groceries on every number for the amount of people that come and they get blessed. Then they get the word of the Lord in the fellowship hall there, and somebody's ministering to them and praying for them and blessing them. So if you want to lend to the poor and you're tired of giving up, bring it here. Want to lend to the poor on Wednesday nights? Come on Wednesday nights. We're receiving an offering for the police department, for the Hope Team. We're going to bless them with the finances to do the things that God's called them to do. You know, we really want to effectively lend to the Lord, amen? And I believe that Wednesday night offering, God's going to roll it back into this house. Like I said, when I went to Pakistan, we lent to the Lord when we went there. And God just multiplied it back, amen? That was one we sowed seed into Pakistan, and God blessed us. Out of your need, learn to give. It will come back to you. And this is just another form of showing God's love to our community and to the world of the people around us. Give and please God. Your giving pleases God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. Lord, I thank you that we can give in secret, Lord, and you reward openly. That, Lord, when we give in secret, you bless and take care of us. And, Lord, I pray that we could do it humbly, without pride, without expectation on people, Father God. But, Lord, you are the glory and the lifter of our head. You are Jehovah Jireh. So, Lord, as we sow seed and we follow what you've called us to, Lord, even when we make mistakes, I pray you redeem our mistakes. Lord, when we feel you're in it and we do it, even when we're emotionally caught up in it, Lord, I pray you'd redeem it. Lord, and you'd pay us back. And Father, I pray that you would help us to give what we have. Lord, that we could give salvation. We could give healing. We could give deliverance. Lord, we would give what we have. And Lord, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to do that. And I want to just say this. If you know that fear has been your limiting factor in stepping out that way, I want you to just stand up right now. Because I believe God wants to free you from fear today. If you've had fear and that's been what's limiting you from stepping out that way, just stand to your feet right now. It's okay. Don't look around. Just come on, stand up. Amen. 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 Praise God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we openly admit our fear to you. But Lord, we recognize your word that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I pray, Father God, that any fear that the enemy's trying to put on the people be broken off today in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, you just fill us with your power, your love, and the soundness of mind. And that, Lord, that we would go and we would give it away. I pray that you would open doors and we would have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying so that we don't miss out on opportunities, Father God. I pray that that fear be destroyed. I pray that your perfect love would cast out all fear. That, Lord, we'd be so in love with you that we'd not be afraid to share openly what you're doing in our lives. And Father God, whether the world receives it or not, that's not on us. Lord, that's on them. Lord, it's not us that they're rejecting, but it's you they're rejecting. And I pray, Father God, that you empower every person here today, Lord, with a word for their community that they're at. Their community of workers, their community of family, their community of their neighborhood, Father, that you would give them words of life to project out, Father God. That'll bring a transformation in their lives. And it'll bring a blessing back to them, Father, like never before. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for us. And that you've saved us. Lord, that salvation comes from God. And we can give it away. It's came to us freely. Now help us to freely give it away. Give us that holy boldness, bold like a lion and harmless like a dove. Lord, strengthen us each today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap of hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Tuesday night we got to celebrate life. I got my Life Recovery Bible with me. That's out in the fellowship hall on Tuesday nights. And it's not just about addictions. It's about overcoming hurts, wounds, things that you're carrying, things that aren't of God. We talk about it. We talk pretty openly on Tuesday nights. Wednesday night, we're talking about healing again. So Wednesday night, the doctrine of healing. We'll be praying anointing with oil for sick. So if you know some people that need prayer for healing, bring them on Wednesday night. We'll be anointing them and praying over them. Friday night, we have prayer. Man, if you can come to Friday night. I know it's Friday night. It's the end of the